Thank you for joining us. And now we want to talk to you about our God-centered concept discipleship series that we have been promoting for a very long time on this show. Here is the book, Victory in Seven by T.S. Wright, the God-centered concept discipleship series that teaches you what real discipleship looks like. This first book will simply get into the foundational process. Make sure you go to Amazon.com and order your copy right now.
Welcome to the show that combines biblical truth, discipleship, and the calling of spreading revival. Now your host, T.S. Wright.
Welcome, everyone, to the Kingdom Crossroads. And I'm your host, T.S. Wright. And I am so glad you could join us today. Before we get started, you know what to do. You hit that follow, subscribe button, and give us a like as it continues to help us to bring you that content that you've grown to love and that we feel so blessed to be able to share with you. And we thank you so much for being a part of the Kingdom Crossroads community. So today we have a very interesting guest, and this is going to be a little different than anybody we've had on. And this guy is, he is the leader of a massive, okay, a very large, okay, missionary organization. All right. It's one of those organizations that are reaching in every place they can across the globe. It is Crossing Cultures International, and you're going to know it as CCI. All right. And that's definitely how I know it as well. But so this gentleman here is celebrating right now his 40th anniversary of this movement. And that's really what it is. It's a movement. And you guys have heard me talk about my movement. Well, his movement is very similar. And they're sending out missionaries all over the world. Ours is to really hone them here in the United States. And so you guys are going to get a great, great show and a great message today. So you know what? Sit back, relax, or if you're driving, don't relax too much, but enjoy what you're getting ready to hear. So let me introduce to you Dr. David Nelson. David, welcome to the show.
Thank you, T.S. It's such a privilege to be with you tonight.
All right. Well, hey, we are ready to get started. So it is now time for you to share your story and just really show it. Tell us how God has led you on this journey so our audience gets a real feel for who you are and really about your vision.
Okay. My mom was the first one in our family to receive Christ, and she was pregnant with me at the time. And a few years later, when I was 6 years old, the pastor gave an invitation, and I walked forward, and a deacon led me through the Romans Road plan of salvation, and I trusted Christ that night. And then about 10 years later, God began to work in my heart and draw me to himself. And really, I had a dedication of my life to the Lord one night as he invaded my room. And I realized I wasn't walking with him like I should. And I got on my knees and I said, "Lord, all to you I surrender." Later that summer, I was at a youth camp and heard a missionary speak. And I walked out of the dining room going on the way to my dorm. And the Lord said, "That's what I want you to do." And I said, "Lord, no, not that, anything but that." But 300 yards later, I said yes to God. I said, "Whatever you ask me to do, I know it will be good. And I'll go wherever you send me. I'll do whatever you ask me to do." And about a year later, I went to Liberty University and started going to school there. And that's where God confirmed his call as a missionary in my life. My wife and I went to the Philippines for a six-week stint while we were juniors at Liberty. And then we were married the following year and moved to the Philippines in 1986, almost 40 years ago now. And during culture and language study in Mindanao, we saw that many of the jobs were learned on the job in an apprenticeship. And so we looked at also, I was reading in the Gospels, and I saw how Jesus trained the 12 disciples, and I realized that he did the same thing too. And I said, "This is true in the scripture. It's also here already in the culture. Why not do this with pastors and church planters and missionaries?" And so the Lord gave me this vision of bringing the seminary training I had received at Liberty bringing it to men and women in the local church, rather than getting somebody from Bible college who doesn't have much experience and still young. And so we decided to bring the Bible college to the church. And so during our first church plant, we started with 11 believers on a small town on the island of Bohol in the southern Philippines. And I said to these three men, you don't have to preach or teach. I'll do that. Just come with me. Help the people find the passage in the scripture. And so they started coming with me. And after 3 months, they started teaching with me. And so we believe that ministry is caught as much as it is taught. And then there were four other gentlemen to join our team. And so there were eight of us. In 1989, I took five of them to a pastor's conference in Mindanao. And we took a boat back to Bohol. We got on our two motorcycles, a Honda 125 and a Kawasaki 100. And three of us on one bike and three on the other. And while I'm driving down the road, I'm rejoicing in my heart. And I said, Lord, this is the greatest thing ever. Seeing these men lead people to Christ, share the gospel, teach your word, learn how to preach. And I prayed this, Lord, let me do this the rest of my life. You know, you never know how God is going to answer your prayers. But this was a heart prayer of mine deep in my soul that I saw that God was working in incredible ways. And I prayed that, and I had no idea how he would answer that prayer into what we have as CCI today. And so one of those men that I was training eventually became the pastor of the church. And he is still the pastor of the church today, Jose Felicia, Pastor Jose Felicia. The church is still going strong. And then we moved to the capital city of Tagbilaran, and we started the same process all over again. And the pastor I trained there is still the pastor today, Awing, Pastor Awing. And so that's the beginning of our journey. And from that birthed this movement of training ministry leaders in indigenous areas. And it started in the South Central Philippines. And then I started serving with this ministry called BTCP, or Bible Training Center for Pastors, using their 10-course curriculum. And I served as the coordinator for the Philippines, and then it started to launch into other countries in Asia. And then in 2006, we launched CCI, and we have grown from then until now up to 31,000 graduates, over about 11,000 people in training, serving now in 46 countries by God's grace and for his glory.
Amen and amen.
Amen.
So, David, a question here. So I know that you guys have people all over the world. I am aware of some of them. We don't.
Yes.
And I'm not going to talk about like locations and people's names in some of these areas, because people, as you guys are understanding, I want you to understand this. There are some of these places that it is dangerous to be a Christian. And so we can't talk about some people, but they need help. They need support. They cannot just, but they can't go and raise funds. They're not in areas of the world to do that. And it's very hard to pull them out, to put them on the road to start raising funds too. So I'm wanting you guys to hear this as we say that. So David Nelson, David, I should say, would you talk a little bit about that and about that process? I have some awareness of it, but I'd like you to really share with our audience some of the intricate details so they understand why there may be people out there to support that they don't even know who these people are, but it is so vital that they get that support.
Okay. Yeah. So our training lasts for 520 hours. It takes about 3 to 4 years to finish. And then those are 10 courses. Then we have another 5 seminars that we continue that relationship with. And so we train the teachers to start classes, and these teachers are either pastors who've been to seminary, or they've been through our curriculum before, and they become trainers, and they start training in a certain area, and they start training usually their own church members or other churches or other pastors. Sometimes it's a pastor's class. And from as the classes begin to grow, we look for someone among the teachers to become an area coordinator, and they will oversee 7 to 10 classes each. By God's grace, we have 125 men like that now, who are most of them are pastors part-time, and they also serve with us. And then in a given country, if we have more than one coordinator, we look for a national director, and he oversees the whole country. And so most of our classes are in an area of the world called the 1040 window. And
I was
that
getting ready
is
to ask you that question. I want you to explain what the 1040 is so that our audience really understands it.
So, I mean, this is by God's providence that this has happened, because we only go to places that we're invited, and it's just spread by word of mouth. It's not by some ingenious marketing technique that I came up with, other than one person being satisfied and trained and equipped and telling the story to somebody else. So we started in the Philippines first, and it grew out to all the regions of the Philippines and then to other countries throughout the 1040 window. And the 1040 window is 10 degrees above the equator to 40 degrees above the equator, from the western rim of Africa to Japan. So that region, that window, is the most unreached area in the world. There are 3 billion people that live there. Almost half of the world's population lives in that area of the world. And this area hosts the most unreached people groups. And I'll tell more about that in a few minutes, but that you'll find Muslims, Buddhists, and Hindus in this area. And a people group is a group of people that has their own language, their own culture, their own dress, and their own diet. And so even though India is one country, it has several thousand people groups in India. There are 28 states that have their own unique languages, dress, culture, diet. And even in a state, a given state, there can be several hundred different people groups with their own language. And many of these people do not have a Bible in their language. So if you look at that 1040 window, 7,000 people groups, over 7,000 people groups do not have a Bible in their language, no Jesus film in their language, no gospel tracts in their language, and no churches in their area that speak their language. But there are people groups in the area, in those areas, that are Christians that, if trained and mobilized, can go and reach those people who are unreached. And so that's what we're doing, what God has by his providence, opened doors in areas throughout all these countries in the 1040 window, especially in India, Bangladesh, Pakistan, Sri Lanka, Nepal, all the way to Indochina, including Myanmar, Vietnam, Cambodia, Thailand, and Laos, all that area. In Indonesia, we have loads of classes and coordinators there that oversee the classes and the translation projects. And so people are being equipped and trained in these areas. Yeah, the majority of our 11,000 students are in these areas, and they're being trained and equipped.
Amen. Amen. And so, you know, and just for you guys in the audience here listening, I actually, just so you guys know, I was trained in college to do this type of work on campuses. And then there was a time when I almost did one of this type of work for a short term in China. I was going to go to China, be on a campus and work as a teacher, but also having the opportunity to potentially share the gospel. So I remember starting a little bit of that training, but the problem was, is the business I was in at the time, I couldn't step away from it. And the Lord kind of pulled me back and told me that another time you're going to be doing mission type of work, but you just don't know it yet. You'll know when, which is what I'm doing now. So this is the time of the
Praise
calling for
God.
that. So I get some of what you guys are doing and understand that. But for you guys in the audience, this training to disciple is a big deal. It truly is. And you need to think about in your own walk, am I reaching people for Christ? Am I discipling? Am I making disciples? Have I ever been discipled? And so on, you know, our program here, we're going to give you guys the opportunity. If you want to do an international mission, hey, CCI right here could be an organization that you could tap into as well. So I want to throw that out there. And, you know, even if you went through our training, that would help translate over to that as well. So you guys just, I wanted you to hear that because I think it's important that we understand this process of being discipled and making disciples. It is at the heart of the gospel. And of course, I preach on it all the time. So, David, next question. And this one is kind of an interesting one. Would you show your book you showed to me before we... there you go.
Here you go. It's Multiply.
I love it. Building and Enduring.
An Enduring Ministry. Yeah.
Perfect. So can... Tell us some about that book.
Yeah. So this basically in this book is the philosophy that we have followed for the last 40 years. And it models after how Jesus trained the 12 disciples, how he gave a godly example of what effective ministry and Christ-likeness looks like. And so many times people don't know where to start at or how to share the gospel or how to disciple someone because they've never been taught that or they've never seen it. And so when they actually see it, when they see somebody else doing it, that's a good example, a good pattern to follow, then they know how to do it too. So God has created us with the ability to learn from each other by being with each other. Another principle is a close relationship. The closer the relationship, the greater the impact that we have in people's lives. And so a lot of times our focus is on information. Well, information needs to be embodied in a person and it has to be fleshed out in real life. And so that close relationship enables us to know the student, the person you're discipling, and know what their weaknesses and strengths are. And then there are eight principles in this book altogether. So a godly example, a close relationship, sound doctrine, teaching them what the content of what a disciple is, how to grow spiritually, what are the main teachings of the Bible, things like this. People need to understand what is the truth. And then other things is another principle is giving people opportunities. Sometimes what people are lacking is the opportunity. And there are many potential servants of God who would have a great impact in the world if they just had an opportunity. And many times in ministries and churches, there's a leader already serving and people think, well, he's being paid to do it. Why should we ask anybody else? But the reality is there are many people in the local church that have the potential for being an evangelist or a pastor or a missionary, and they just haven't been given the opportunity. And so we talk about giving people opportunities. And so these are some of the principles that we follow from this book. It's has been modeled, and this is what we've done for the last 40 years.
So if somebody wanted to purchase this book, where could they do so?
They could go on our website, cciequip.org, or they could buy it on Amazon. They can go to Amazon to search David Nelson Multiply. Or if they have the Logos platform for Bible study, you could find that book there as well. Multiply, Building an Enduring Ministry. So those are the three platforms where you can buy it at. Our website, Amazon, or Logos Bible software.
And of course, we'll put this in the show notes when we're finished here. So David, next question here. If let's just say somebody in this audience would like to actually probe beyond just doing some of the stuff like what we're doing, trying to do it here in the churches in the United States, but they actually want to get involved in international ministry, not just as a donor, but actually actively partake in that. What are some steps that they could take to do that right now?
So it depends on how God has designed them, what gifts they have. And so where their greatest passion is in terms of missions ministry. There's so many different avenues where people can be involved in, like there's humanitarian work, there's church building work, there's translations, there's work with tribal people. There's work with children internationally. Ours is a niche of just training ministry leaders, pastors, and church leaders. So they would have to discover how God has created them and then see where their greatest joy is in serving and where they would be best placed at. So that's what I would recommend for them.
Amen. Amen.
Yeah.
So obviously with all the different types of ministries that you guys are connected into and all that, you also have a fundraiser going on right now, if I'm not mistaken.
Yeah, that's right. We have
I'd like you to talk about that.
Okay, we have a $77,000 matching gift right now, and every dollar will be matched up to $77,000 between now and the end of the year. And this, all these, the funds go to coordinators, like I talked about earlier, who oversee classes and translation work and teachers. They oversee all the teachers and the students in the given area. So all that is raised between now and the end of the year will go towards them. So we have individuals in all those countries that I mentioned earlier leading an area or the whole country. And so this fundraiser will go towards their support.
Amen. Amen. So before we still got just a couple of more minutes here. So before we get off of here, I would like you to maybe give just a little bit of a kind of a general example of some real highlights of things that have happened here lately with your
okay.
ministry.
All right. I'll give you some examples of people that have been through our training. So
right.
there's Samuel in Cambodia. Samuel is a businessman who sells bicycles, and his wife encouraged him when she heard about this training in their local church. She said, "Samuel, you need to go to this training." He said, "I'm too busy. I'm just a bicycle salesman. What can I do?" And he thought, "Well, just going to church every Sunday is enough." And she, "No, you need to go to this training." And then the pastor invited him to come to the training. And his wife continued to encourage him, not to badger him, but to encourage him. And he decided to go. He went to the training. And while he was going to the training, he started a house church in his home. And since he has finished the training, he is now a teacher. And he is training others to go out and start churches too. He's developed a team, and they are planting 8 churches. That is just one example of many things like that that's happened in the Philippines. We have there is a developer that graduated about 15 year, about 10 years ago in the Philippines in Mindanao, in a Muslim Catholic area, and his name is Ray, and Ray finished the training and he became a trainer with us. And he started a class. He picked out the people, and he was he developed community. So he said, "If you don't have shoes, I'll give you shoes. If you don't have a house, I'll build you a house." So he started with 15 people, and they went through training all day Saturday, and then on Sunday after worship service and eating, he would drop them off at different points of the city, and they would talk to people and share the gospel with them. And now, 10 years later, they have started 18 churches in that area. And so he's the pastor of the church. He was part of a Southern Baptist churches. And so he served as the president for the Southern Baptist churches in the southern part of the Philippines for several years. And he's just gone back to being the pastor of his church. So these are some of the testimonies. And it's not only in the Philippines and Cambodia, but every one of these countries where ordinary men and women are being trained, and they're making an incredible impact in their area for Christ. And it just shows me that just there are people that have a great potential, but they don't realize it. They don't know it because somebody hasn't seen it in them. And so someone needs to have vision for people that God can use them also. And so there are lots of people in our churches that have that ability, but are untapped. Yeah.
Amen. Amen. So we're getting pretty close to wrapping up. So, David, one more time, would you share with where people can go to learn more about your ministry? If they want to give, if they want to get involved, all those things, if they want to purchase your book, where can they go?
So they go to our website, which is CCIEQUIP.org. Crossing Cultures International's website is CCIEQUIP.org, And there you can find out more information. You can donate. You can buy my book. You can write to us and tell about your desire for cross-cultural ministry. So we would love to hear from you.
Amen. Amen. So, David, I appreciate you being on the show and sharing all those things with us, because I think it's so important for people to hear what is going on in these different types of evangelistic and discipleship-making ministries. And so that way they see the effectiveness of the kingdom of God spreading through all these different parts of the world. And to me, it's encouragement, because you know what's happening? We're gaining more and more brothers and sisters in Christ as we do that. That's what's happening.
Yeah,
and
praise
you know
God.
What I say? Amen. Amen. Yeah. All to the glory of God. So, David, it's been a pleasure having you on here, and you are welcome back anytime. We'd love to have you back sometime, be able to share some more wisdom with us and maybe even dive into a topic that you could share with us. And maybe like a quick intro into like what the first lesson would be like to learn how to be be in this type of ministry. So, I think that would be pretty, pretty interesting, but anyway,
thank you. Thank you so much for having me on this program.
Hey, and it has been great to have you, and a blessing. Well, I'm going to say it as I always do. Thank you for joining. Thank you for being a part of the Kingdom Crossroads on behalf of myself and David. Now, you know what I say, how I finish everyone. Now go forth in total surrender to the one who owns and reigns over all creation, and let the great harvest begin.